We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text Number 18. This is from the chapter of Brahma, Stealing the Boys and Calves. Translation, thereafter, just to create pleasure for both Brahma and for the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Although Brahma was already entangled in bewilderment, he wanted to show his power to the cowherd boys. But after he took away the boys and their calves and returned to his abode, Krishna created further astonishment for Brahma and for the mothers of the boys by establishing the lunch pastimes in the forest again, and replacing all the calves and boys, just as they had appeared before. According to the Vedas, Ekam Bahu Shyam. The personality of Godhead can become many, many millions upon millions of calves and cowherd boys, as he did to bewilder Brahma more and more. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindo, Dina Bando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchako Patarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Tata Krishna Mudam Kartum, Tan Matrinam Chakasyacha, Ubayayitamatmanam Chakri Vishwa Krit Ishwaraha. Thereafter, just to create pleasure, both for Brahma and for the mothers of the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna, the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, expanded himself as calves and boys. This is the Brahma Vimohana Lila, which is an important pastime, especially in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. In the next chapter, Brahma, after being bewildered, who reveals Krishna, Govinda, this cowherd boy, to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know, the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami has established, and the other Goswamis have established, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a primary verse defining our sampradaya, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. here, Brahma, interestingly, who's the head of our sampradaya, is becoming bewildered by Krishna. The Madhvas don't, Madhvacharya didn't comment on this section of the Bhagavatam because they don't appreciate so much the head of the sampradaya becoming bewildered, whereas the Gaudiyas appreciate very much how Krishna in his unlimited power has bewildered Brahma. Here it's mentioned that for the pleasure of Brahma, he's bewildering him, and for the pleasure of the mothers of Vrindavan. In this pastime, Krishna had uncharacteristically awakened all of his friends. Normally, Krishna is awakened by others, and then he comes out to play. But on this particular day, he gets up earlier than everybody else and goes to blow his conch shell to wake up everybody else. And his friends and calves come out to greet him. It's described in this section of the Bhagavatam as an arbuda of cows, of calves and cowherd boys, which means it's asankhya, uncountable. There are so many that come to play with him in the forest. And they go off into the forest, and on this particular day, as they're playing through the forest, their play is punctuated by the encounter with Agasura. In fact, if Agasura didn't come, and if various demons didn't come in the daily pastimes of Krishna, they would forget to stop playing and take their lunch. So it's a punctuation mark in the play that Agasura comes and the cowherd boys enter within the mouth of Agasura. And Krishna then, of course, enters within the mouth of Agasura along with the cowherd boys, expands himself, and Agasura leaves his body but hovers as a spirit soul until Krishna and the cowherd boys come back out of the mouth of Agasura. And then in front of everybody, the soul of Agasura merges into the body of Krishna. And here Shukadeva Goswami appreciates the exalted nature of Agasura, that although yogis try to fix the Lord within their mind, and after thousands, tens of thousands of years may be successful or unsuccessful in doing so, the Supreme Personality of God had placed his lotus feet within the mouth of Agasura. And what an exalted position this is. In fact, Shukadeva Goswami says in this section of the Bhagavatam that if someone is able to bring the form of the Lord within one's mind, even for a moment, they become eternally benefited. And from this pastime, Krishna goes with his friends and calves to the sandy bank of the Jamuna and has a picnic. And there he's sitting in the middle of all the cowherd boys who are beholding the beautiful face of Krishna. And just as in the rasa dance, each one of the gopis thinks that Krishna is dancing only with her or very exclusively with her, similarly, the cowherd boys feel that Krishna is interacting directly with them, with each of them. And this is part of Krishna's mystic potency, that he has a relationship with every living entity. Every one of the living entities spontaneously and simultaneously. Even Krishna is, in the Bhagavad Gita says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaya sharajuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. That even as a living entity comes to the material world and transmigrates from one body to another, Krishna stays with that living entity wherever he goes and is overseeing and permitting his activities in the material world. In the spiritual world, Krishna has a unique relationship with every living entity. And each one feels that Krishna is mine. And the cowherd boys, while enjoying this pastime with Krishna, notice that the calves, attracted by grass, because calves, when they're grazing, they get into samadhi on the grass. And they just keep eating and eating, and they look for newer and newer grass. So they were allured by newer and newer grasses and began to wander further away from the picnic area. So Brahma was observing all this. There had been quite a clamor when Agasura had been killed by Krishna amongst the demigods. And Brahma came to see what was going on. And he witnessed there, during this picnic pastime, what he was looking for was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what he saw was a little boy playing around with his friends. And Krishna was holding in his left hand some yogurt and fruit that was between his beautiful fingers. And the cowherd boys were joking around with him. And they were sharing their food. Each one of them was showing what they had brought from home, from their mothers. And they were sharing the kinds of things that they brought. Even with Krishna, they were sharing. And sometimes they would start to eat it, take it out of their mouth, give it to Krishna. And Brahma, who's known as Vidhi, he is very much accustomed to strict rules and regulations. In fact, in the higher planetary systems, as one can read in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Brahma and others worship the Lord as Yajna, he appears in a very solemn form, and they offer oblations to him in the fire and so forth. Yajna Bhuk, the enjoyer of sacrifices. And now Brahma is a little bit confused, seeing the casual nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wondering if his power as this little cowherd boy is the same as the power of Lord Narayan. And he decides to test his own power against this form of the Lord. And so Brahma then decides to steal away the calves and the cowherd boys. So the way this unfolds is that Krishna, noticing that the calves are wandering away, or at least the cowherd boys had noticed, and they mentioned it, and Krishna said, no, you stay here and enjoy your lunch. Because Krishna, as is mentioned in this verse, it is said, tata krishno mudam kartum, that he's interested in the pleasure of Brahma and the cowherd boys. He goes off to retrieve them himself. He says, please, you stay and enjoy your lunch. And as Krishna is looking for the calves who are wandering in the forest, Brahma comes and steals away the cowherd boys. And when Krishna comes back to see the cowherd boys, Brahma also steals the calves. And in this way, for a moment, Krishna's noticing what has happened and then realizes Brahma has stolen away the calves and the cowherd boys. And he remanifests each one of them in precise detail the way they were before. And this time, they're not the kind of expansions they were before, because as mentioned in this verse, Eku Bahu Syam, Krishna manifests himself as unlimited living entities. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eku Bahunam Yo Viditati Kaman. The Vedas describe how there's one singular eternal, but he has expansions. Nityanam, plural, there's a plurality of eternal beings who are expansions of the Lord and who are maintained by him. And these next expansions of Krishna in the form of the cowherd boys and calves are not like that, but they're actually direct manifestations of Krishna, Vishnu Tattva. And Krishna wanted to, first of all, teach Brahma a lesson. And second of all, he wanted to please the mothers in Vrindavan. So these expansions that are actually Krishna, that appeared exactly like the same cowherd boys and the same calves, then go back into Vrindavan. And there's an amazing scene. And that is that the parents of these children greet them at home, as they normally do, only they're 10 times more affectionate towards their children than they had been before. And this is this goes on for some time in Vrindavan as Krishna's manifesting these forms. So this is an interesting philosophical point that comes up in the next chapter, because Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit talking about the pastime and after the prayers of Lord Brahma, who, as we'll find out, comes to see that although he thought he stole away the calves and cowherd boys, they're still manifest there. And then Krishna reveals to him that actually the expansions that he now sees are Vishnu forms that have emanated directly from him. So Brahma, becoming completely bewildered and overwhelmed by the awesome power of Krishna, this little cowherd boy, places his four heads on the ground and then kneeling offers these prayers in the 14th chapter, glorifying Krishna. And he says that Jnane Prayasam Udapasyanamanta Eva Jivanti Sanmukaritam Bhavadiyavartam Stane Stita Shutigatam Dhanavan Manobir Ye Prayaso Jita Jito Pyasitais Trilokyam. That one should give up one's attempt to understand Krishna with one's own intellect. Don't speculate to try to understand Krishna, he says. Abandon that idea altogether, because his power and magnificence are unimaginable to the tiny human being. Even Brahma can't understand what to speak of a tiny human being. He says, rather, one should Jnane Prayasam Udapasyanamante Jivanti San Mukharitam Bhavadiyavartam. One should go on serving Krishna and in the association of devotees, give body, mind, and words to hearing about Krishna. Stane stita shruti gatam means that one should, in whatever situation one's in now, continue to hear about Krishna. And then he says, by hearing about Krishna in great detail, the unconquerable, he who is so powerful, becomes conquered by the love of the devotee. So Parikshit Maharaj is very interested in several aspects of this story, and he wants to know how it was that the residents of Vrindavan had become more attracted to these expansions than to their own children. And Shukadeva Goswami explains, Atmanam Akhilatmanam. He says that actually Krishna is the soul of everyone's soul. And that he goes on to say that actually there's one topic in this world that everyone's most interested in. And this is important in the science of communications. And what is that one topic that everyone's most interested in? Him or herself. In fact, Dale Carnegie once said that there's no sweeter sound in any language than a person's own name. And then he says, but actually, we misconstrue what our self is in this world, which is done by way of placing our consciousness within matter. For instance, we may all be sitting here peacefully, but one of you may have parked your car just outside. And we may hear somebody careening around the corner, and then your car may be sideswiped. Whose car might it be? Okay, Vishrambar Prabhu's car. He parked outside, and we hear somebody careen around the corner, and we hear glass and metal, and then Vishrambar triangulates and understands that was where I parked my car. And now how does Vishrambar Prabhu feel? He's peacefully sitting here, but now how does he feel? Please tell me. Huh? What are the physical symptoms? What does that mean, upset? He begins to perspire, his heart rate increases. Anything else? He goes, starts to think about how he didn't pay the insurance, he could lose his house, everything. All these things go through his mind. He runs to the window, and he looks out, and he sees, oh, it wasn't my car. This was Devesh's car. And now how does Vishrambar Prabhu feel? He feels fine. How does Devesh Prabhu feel? His heart starts to race. Well, I'm actually, these are not ordinary living entities, so I'm just giving an example. And in a similar way, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that the living entity projects himself into the body. He thinks, this is me. And the soul, the power of consciousness, is project itself into matter. And then what is ordinary matter, what is an ordinary car, becomes my car. And now it becomes a problem for me. As Krishna says in the Gita, Jayato Vishayan Pumsam Sangas Teshu Pajayate. When you look at matter and you contemplate it, which means something special, it means this is for me. You think there's something in it for you. Then you actually project yourself into it. And then it becomes an anga, it becomes part of you. So Shukadeva Goswami explains how everybody's self-interested, but everyone has misplaced their sense of self, and they're putting it in the wrong places. In the material world, we place it in matter, and I think I'm my body. That's why everyone, Shukadeva Goswami says, is so utterly attached to one's own body, because I consider it myself. But he says, Atmanam akilatmanam, that this pastime of Krishna expanding himself into the cowherd boys and calves proves that Krishna is the soul of all souls, and that we're actually attracted to that original soul that's the source of our very soul, the self of ourself. If I'm attached to myself, I can understand how much I would be attached to the self of myself, the soul of my soul. So the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, and all the residents of Vrindavan are perfectly aligned with their original self, the origin of all of their self, which is Krishna. In the material world, Kavi Havi Yogendra explains, Payam dvitiya binibeshita syat ishad apetasya viparyayo smriti tamayato buddha abhijetam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. That I get in a reversed condition of life, and therefore I become full of fear. I become absorbed. I project myself into matter. I project myself into the body and think I'm this body. And because of that, I develop a competitive attitude with Krishna, and therefore I'm full of fear. And then he says the remedy for this is to simply turn one's attention back to Krishna and take Krishna as the one's life and soul, and to worship Krishna through the via medium of the spiritual master. Then that can be remedied. Now we'll take some reflections or question. Yes. One, two.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was really appreciating the point you made that although Krishna expanded himself in so many calves and boys, but in spiritual world, he each devotee can actually have that personal relationship with Krishna and feel like how the devotees or the gopis in Vrindavan feel that Krishna is only mine. And Krishna being all attractive and full of these spiritual potencies, he can reciprocate in that way that you could actually feel that relationship. It is just you and Krishna. Whereas in material world, this kind of relationship doesn't exist, no matter how hard you try.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
You're good. Yeah.
Thank you very much for excellent Prabhupada Prabhu. I'm always concerned about the strict distinction that is made in ISKCON seminars and so on between matter and spirit. Because quite apart from anything else, matter and spirit, they're interchangeable. That being so, why such a big distinction? This is my question number one. And question number two is,
can I do one question at a time because I have limited capacity? Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol. Yes, if we back up far enough, we'll see that there is one divine source of matter and spirit, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Matak Sarvam Pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, those who understand, I'm the origin of everything, matter and spirit, engage in loving service unto me. In the Gita, Krishna makes a clear distinction between matter and spirit. In the seventh chapter of the Gita, he says, Bhumirapu analovhayu kamano buddhir evacha ahankara itiyame binna prakritir ashtada. He distinguishes binna, prakriti, separated material energy as earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And then he goes on to say, Apareya mitastanyam prakritim virimi param jiva bhutam mahabaho ya yedam darite jagat. Besides this inferior material nature, there's a superior energy of mind, which are all living entities who are struggling hard in maintaining the material universe. From the perspective of the soul who becomes entangled in Krishna's inferior energy, it's important to make a distinction so that one can act properly to become extricated. The Vedas also say, asango hyayam purushaha, that ultimately, although we're tatastha and we can have a relationship with either the inferior or the material or the superior energy, we actually have nothing really to do with the inferior energy. Asango hyayam purusha. We have no sangha, no real connection here. Whereas we do have an eternal kinship with the Lord. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa parayavacha. In the Sri Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the soul has an eternal kinship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas that is not stated in any of the Shastra, that we have an eternal relationship with matter. Our relationship here is described as troublesome. Gajendra, while he was offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, this is a great conundrum about the material energy and the superior energy. And he said, it's very hard to understand the difference between material and spiritual energy because I'm so ensconced as a spirit soul in material energy. And to understand my relationship with it, specifically he just says, whether I should try to integrate with this material energy or whether I should try to extricate myself from it, this is a great cause for concern and is difficult to understand. Then he goes on to say, therefore, I will take the opinion of the great acharyas who all say that one should extricate oneself from the material energy. He said, therefore, I'll follow the path of the authorities in taking it that I don't belong to this material energy and I'll become free from it. Furthermore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Narupamasyeha tato palabhyate nanto nachadhir nacha sampratishta Ashvatamenam suvaruda mulam asanga shastrena dhritena chitva tatapadam tat parimargitavyam yasmin gatana nirvartanti bhuya tameva chantyam purusham prapadye yatak praviti prashita purani. We are entangled, he says, in what is much like a banyan tree. We don't know where we came from, where the end of the banyan tree is, which part of it we're in. It's very difficult to understand. So he advises directly, asanga shastrena dhritena chitva, that you should cut down this strongly rooted tree of the material energy. And after that, tatapadam tat parimargitavyam, you should go on a pilgrimage back to Godhead. Now make your way back to the original source of all the material and spiritual worlds, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat. Okay. That's because you're a great sage. Great sages ask these kinds of questions in great detail. You'll find it throughout the Shastra. And now we've come to the end. It's 20 and a half minutes past. But I just want to express, and will express, my deep gratitude to Shruti Dharma Prabhu and to all the members of this ashram, of this community. Sometimes you can't see it for yourselves when you're in the middle of it, because it's hard to see what you're doing when you're absorbed in the service itself. But please take it from us, Nirakula, my wife and I, who have come here objectively and are witnessing what you're doing. This is a life-changing experience being here, and what you're doing is changing the world. All the ways in which you have to adjust your lives and perform austerities in order to live in a community, and all this, and to perform all the services that you're doing despite the onslaught of material energy, are all completely worth it. And our deep thanks to all of you for your unbelievable hospitality and the warmth that you give to everybody who comes here, not the least of which are to us. We greatly revere the service that you're doing here, and thank you very, very much for continuing Srila Prabhupada's movement in such an exemplary way. I feel that my words are falling short, but I guess to say in brief, we love you all. And feel very much at home here, and thank you very much for everything that you've done. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande.